I told Randy, well, good evening to everyone. I told Randy, I don't know if I can teach this lesson because the floodgates just opened, you know. Little did I know how much I needed to hear about loss and grief. And to share it with such a sweet group. And to hear the reminders from such a sweet voice. I mean, there's just such sweetness in the truth. And so there's grief. Losses happen all the time, all day long, many times. Randy described the various griefs we have been going through, the losses. But it never stops. We lose all day long. We lose. We feel loss when we don't get what we want, or we feel loss when things don't go our way. Are these little losses of things that are taken away from us? But they're losses. And all losses, it's important to grieve them and to know what to do with them. What is it? You know, when I don't get my way, I'm conditioned to get angry about it. What if I just grieved it? See the difference? A big difference. Of course, I'm talking to myself. But I've read in the Washington Post today that said 65% of psychologists who responded to a survey last fall said they weren't able to take on new patients. So why is this happening? 2 years of the pandemic have created huge mental health problems. Certainly have for me, causing a higher demand for connection, which is exactly what we're doing tonight. This is therapeutic. We're connecting with grief. And so then there was breaking news. So when I see breaking news on my iPad, it's usually coming from Politico, but it says the global COVID-19 death toll surpassed 6 million people. Public health experts say the true count will never be known. And then the war. A war that is, I mean, I've heard my parents and my grandparents talk about World War II. Having not an inkling of what that's like to experience that in a lifetime. And with the information age, seeing it so clearly and so up close. It's grief, it's pain, it's loss. And it's a very, very big part of our existence. It's there. And maybe there's just not enough of us who knows that compassion is the heart's response to sorrow. Wow, I felt that in a deep way tonight. Compassion is the heart's response to sorrow. Compassion for it all. allowing the pain to be there, knowing it, not pushing it away or stuffing it. And that's why, and that's what we're practicing, the Buddha says, to go to the heart and feel it deeply. Well, I certainly did not know how to do that before I started this journey within. I had to learn it. I had to teach. I teach myself. I had to practice. Eckhart Tolle says, as long as you are unable to access the power of now, awareness, which is awareness, every emotional pain that you experience leaves behind a residue of pain that lives on in you. It merges with the pain from the past, which was already there, and become lodged in your mind and body. And this, of course, includes the pain you suffered as a child, caused by the unconsciousness of the world until which you were born. So that's it. That's where we are. And all of life can be accepted if we know how to experience it within our body. There's a whole process, and that's what we're practicing. What to do with the pain. Because a lot of us, including myself, don't have time. I don't have time for the pain. You know, keep me busy. Keep me involved. I don't have time for the pain. Running from it. And yet, just accepting it tonight, just this beautiful evening, just opened a very raw sense of grief within me. Why? Because I had time for the pain. And I haven't had time for the pain, evidently. So, to open to it, we go within, to the sensations within the body. And as Randy says, the foundation, first foundation of mindfulness is mindfulness of the body. And if we can just remember, I'm talking to myself, can remember that this whole system, this whole bag of existence, it's our temple, it's our curriculum, it is what we carry with us. We can't go anywhere without it. And so it is through this gift of life that we can set ourselves free from the pain without sorrow. That is what the Buddha promises. So our body is our refuge, a place from where to live and love our lives completely. So we're practicing how to live. Who would have thought in this late time of the game, practicing how to live? And we can experience all of life, even in the grief and sadness, with the help and practice of what we're doing right tonight. And then the tool. We've got many tools, but of course, RAIN is something we carry with us all the time. The acronym, RAIN. Recognizing, being awake to our lives, every part of lives, even washing the dishes, as Thich Nhat Hanh reminded us. It's all grist for the mill. And then allowing it, knowing that that resistance is the suffering. And so practicing allowing it. And sometimes those two are the only ones that we're able to carry with us throughout our working day. But what a relief. But then what we're doing now with the information that we receive and recognizing and allowing, we begin to investigate it. What is the truth? We begin to ask these inquiry questions that open us, that actually open us to the truth. And we begin to wake up. And then the end is nurture. This nurtures us. We become more and more of all that a human being can be. So a culmination of recognizing, allowing, and investigating, that leads us, that teaches us, where are we causing our own suffering, where most of it is just optional. It doesn't have to be that way. And so with all that comes to us, it is within our bodies that we hold the grief of our sorrows. And we're carrying it around with us all the time, not enabling it or giving it the openness and the truth of it. So we're opening the door to our pain. And again, that's not something we practice, because it hurts, the pain's there. And it also seems too simple. The riddle of the universe could not be that simple, surely. But Buddha taught us that it is possible, because awareness transforms. And it transforms to the truth, which takes us to our true self. So we begin to look at life from the three characteristics that the teachings say hold these, because this wisdom is found in all things connected to our life. Impermanence, anicca, things, that's acceptance, to acknowledge something that is very difficult to acknowledge, because I don't want to be impermanent, and lo and behold, I'm not. Hallelujah, I'm not impermanent. And then the suffering. Yeah. Suffering. There is suffering in life. The first noble truth. Our friend and teacher, Randy, I can't think of his name, who cried.
Oh, Howie?
Howie. Our friend Howie. I know him so well, I can't remember his name. Howie said he cried when he heard that. such a relief because we thought something is wrong when there is pain and suffering. We don't know how to relate to it. And then realizing, anatta, that this is a temporary existence. Yeah, it's real, but it's not true. We're much, much more than this, but this has to be honored. It has to be known. And so when we begin to see one or all three of these characteristics, it points us to freedom. And it doesn't matter what level we hear the truth on. It doesn't matter. Because it's all within us anyway. So the truth is there. And we see and experience that suffering is optional. And that's what we're doing. What do we do with our suffering? And the ignorance of it just creates more suffering. Reacting causes more suffering. Getting angry, putting anger out there, putting resistance out there. And yet we begin to realize only love can do it. So where is it? Where do we open to the love? Where we open to the love within. The part of us that is in this form, that is who we are. So we do touch this spacious existence that was not born and it doesn't die. Someone said the other day, how come I'm so old and I look in the mirror and I just feel the very same thing, same way I felt when I was 15 years old. Well, because guess what? You have that deep sense. You've touched the deep sense of what has not been born and what will not die with the body. So when we observe the changing qualities of all phenomena, there is a less of a tendency to think that's who we are, because when we grab on to them, to the aspects of life, and wanting it to be other than it is, more suffering will arise. Now, that doesn't mean to be a victim, and that doesn't mean that there's not right action or that we should stand up. We should. So we have to experience this ourselves. We have to embody this. And it is the pain. It is through the pain that pain is released. I just love that. It's that acceptance, but that acceptance is true for all of life. You don't have to like everything. You don't have to love everything. We don't. We're not designed to love everything. We like and we dislike. We have preferences, and absolutely nothing's wrong with preferences. If we know the truth about what preferences are. See the difference? So most of us have spent our lives caught in the past with regrets, guilt, or shame. Many times I reflect and say, oh, I would be such a much better principal if I could go into the job with just a little bit of more of the information that I'm living with now. So we begin to meditate. We begin to feel life again, all of it. But we also encounter whatever we have been avoiding. That's why this is so, you are so courageous to face yourself. Because even your form, we've denied things about our form, about the human being. So we must have the courage to face whatever is present. Whatever it is, we can take it within us. We can open to all of life. Each of us will find something from which we have been running. And it seemed tonight I had been running from some grief. Oh, but that openness, our loneliness, our unworthiness, our boredom, our shame, our unfulfilled desires, the difficult parts come up. We can grieve. We can take it in. And then nature takes care of it if we know what to do with it. So facing these parts of ourselves is not easy. But with wise understanding, we allow ourselves to contain all things, both dark and light. And we come to a sense of peace. The only place we're going to find peace is within. We're not going to find peace in the world. Only peace there is within us. And this is not the peace of denial or running away, but the peace we find in the heart that rejects nothing. Whew, that's powerful. But touching everything with compassion. Because that's who we are. We're just compassion. And so we begin to understand the nature of grief and how to live with it. And we've had it up close. And you're thinking the pandemic is over. It's not over. It's been managed so that we can live with it some way, all of us. But it's not over. And the war, that's grist for the mill. Because that's so far from anything before this that I could really relate to in this lifetime. Seeing up close the suffering of our neighbors. So with that, I'll stop and we'll open it up to you. Thank you.